The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for another opportunity to hear your Word. Our desire is that today you will minister to us in a special way. Disclose yourself to us, give us understanding. Feed our spirits and help us grow. Grant us ability not only to hear but to practice your word. Let profiting manifest greatly in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Please sit. Please be seated. I'm preaching on the topic tithing the right way. That suggests to me that you may tithe, but you may tithe the wrong way. So God wants us to tithe, and he wants us to tithe the right way. In Leviticus chapter 27, reading from verse 30 through 33, it gives us the idea of what the concept of tithing is about. So Leviticus chapter 27, reading from verse 30 to 33. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It's holy unto the Lord's. Take note of that. And if any man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the head or of the flock, or even whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. Can I hear an amen? Verse 33, and he shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both of it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. Some people have challenges with the concept of tithing. They say it's an Old Testament concept. Well, I have good news for you. Love is also an Old Testament concept that has been brought into the New Testament. The concept of faith or trust in God is an Old Testament concept. It has been brought to the New Testament. And Jesus Christ is the focus of our faith. The concept of humility started in the Old Testament. It didn't just start in the New Testament. The Bible says when you humble yourself, the Lord will give you grace and exalt you. And there were kings in the Old Testament who didn't humble themselves, so God took them out of place. The concept of holiness is an Old Testament concept as well as a New Testament concept. And the concept of tithing falls under the general category of giving. The concept of tithing falls under the general category of giving. Now, there are three things that I want to distinguish this morning. The first is the tithe, the second is the first fruits, and the third is the offering. So we have the tithes, we have the first fruits, and we have the offering. The tithe is a tenth part of any increase. So a tenth part of your salary, a tenth part of a gift to you, a tenth part of a donation to you, a tenth part of a fellow. The government has given you money to cushion you in the time of COVID. It is also money. It's an increase. In Leviticus chapter sorry, in Malachi chapter 3, it says, you shall give tithe over all the increase. So it didn't just say salary, because sometimes you can be blessed on the side more than even your salary. So God was specific in the choice of his words in saying that the tithing must be over the increase. So a tithe is a tenth part. Israel was an agrarian community. They were a community that had flocks and that planted crops. And what they did about the tithing was that if you were a farmer and you had a flock, you counted as the flock passed through a narrow area, you counted and picked the 10th one and picked the 20th one and picked the 30th one and the 40th and the 50th, and those things were dedicated to the Lord. The Bible says the tithe belongs to the Lord. In other words, the tithe was just giving for your keeping. In other words, you are a steward of what God has assigned to you. The 90% belongs to you, but the 10% is specifically God's. And any use of it other than giving it as a tithe is an abuse of it. And under the Old Testament, if you misapply the tithe into another thing, you were asked to pay a 20% penalty. So if you said that you were in a difficult situation and you needed to pay for your transportation or top up the money and pay for the school fees of your ward, when you did so, you were supposed, in the time of restoring the money to God, you were to add 20% of that sum as a penalty. So in other words, God is saying, be wise, don't misapply it. Don't use it for another purpose. Don't be smarter than me. There are people that say, Reverend, well, can't I give my tithe to the needy? You have 90% and you are very generous. So why don't you pick out of the 90% and give to the needy? The tithe, the 10%, belongs to God. It's not yours. It's not mine. The second thing we're explaining is the first fruits. If you've ever had plants around your house, whether they were mangoes, whether they were tomatoes, whether they were coconut plants, whether they were guava trees, you would notice that if in a particular period you're going to have a cumulative harvest of like 70 fruits, you will notice that some fruits ripe early. About 7, 10, 12 ripe early. Those that ripe early are the first fruits. Now, the first fruit may vary in percentages. Today, the first fruit may be just 2% of the total lot. Tomorrow, it may be 3%. Next week it could be 1%. It depends on the thing. So the first fruits can never be the tithe, because they are the early fruits that ripe. And the first fruits can never be the tithe. God set this principle so that you think about him first. Before you expend your monies in other things, think about God first. By the time your salary arrives, isolate the 10% in your heart to God. If you pay by mobile money, do so very quickly. Don't delay. Or if you get into church and it's a check you write, or it's cash you pay, don't delay. Give it first. Honor God first. Don't go and do all other things, and when you're hard up, that's when you're running to God. Because if you have the tendency of doing that, you will miss some grace between the period when you're supposed to give and when you eventually give. So why don't you give now and enjoy the benefits that God would give to you? The third word I'm explaining is offering. Offering, by definition, is anything above the tithe. So we may say the first fruits qualify as a type of offering. Anything above the tithe is an offering. So there were different kinds of offering under the Old Testament. There was a free will offering, there was the burnt offering, and there were other thanksgiving offering and different kinds of offerings. Now, if the Old Testament folks did a tithe of a minimum of 10%, then you and I, under the New Testament, under a better covenant, are supposed to do much better. In a commentary that I read many, many years ago, the commentary said the average Israelite under the Old Testament gave up to about 28% of his increase. 28%, 10% of the tithe, some amount of the first fruits, and if you add the various offerings that they had, it came up to about 28%. Now, if we are under a better covenant established by Christ, then we are supposed to do much better. So if you're doing below 10%, then that is serious. That is very critical. Because you are not meeting the threshold of God, the minimum requirement, you are not satisfying it. Delayed obedience is disobedience, and partial obedience is disobedience. God wants total obedience. And in relation to the subject of tithing, we also have to understand that it was established before the law. Many times people say, well, the law came with curses. But the good news is that tithing was instituted before the law. Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 to 20. It talks about when Abraham's nephew was taken captive by some five kings, and they took away their belongings as well. And Abraham took his 318 trained servants and he went to battle them. And according to the scripture, God delivered the enemies into his hands. Now listen, Abraham on his own could never have faced these people. Abraham on his own could never have contested with these people in a battle. But he went in the name of the Lord, and the Lord glorified his name. And according to the testimony, God delivered Abraham's enemies into his hands. Can I prophesy to you? May the Lord deliver all your enemies into your hands. May none of them escape through the net. And may none of them turn around to devise a hit against you. May they be completely be delivered into your hands, like Goliath was delivered into the hands of David. So if you read Genesis chapter 14, from verse number 18, it says, and Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. 19. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thy enemies into thy hands. And he gave him tithes of all. And blessed be the Most High God, who has delivered your enemies into your hands. It's a difficult thing if you are rather getting delivered into your hands. I reverse that trend. Oh, can I hear an amen? And I declare that it is an error. We forbid it. We disallow it. May your enemies rather be delivered into your hands. Your matrimonial enemies, may they be delivered into your hands. Your business and financial enemies, may they be delivered into your hands. Enemies that are threatening your life and your health, may they be delivered into your hands in the name of Jesus Christ. So that was the testimony from Melchizedek telling Abraham, you are blessed. You are blessed by the Most High God, the possessor of the heavens and the earth, who has delivered your enemies into your hands. And when Abraham heard that, he assessed the goods that he had recovered and divided it into 10 portions and gave 1/10 to Melchizedek. Because we are told in verse 18 that Melchizedek was the king of Salem. Salem is the short form of Jerusalem. The king of Salem. And the Bible says, for he was a priest of the Most High God. It is said that the beginning of Melchizedek was not known and the end of him was not known. He suddenly just appeared in the Bible. And Melchizedek was a type of Christ. So Abraham gave the tithes a 10th path. Now, there was no law. There was not even the word. There was no Torah. But Abraham, by divine revelation, divine inspiration, recognized that the man has served him with bread and wine. The Bible said Jesus was slain for us before the foundations of the world. So what God needed to do for you, he has already done it. Can I hear an amen? He has already secured the victory for you. In order to access the victory, he has given you opportunity to give so you can access that victory that has been won for you. Somebody say amen. So there's a distinction between the tithe, the first fruits, and the offering. And we are going further to establish that Abraham gave tithes before the law was established around the time of Moses. In Genesis chapter 28, verse 20, still before the law, Jacob made a vow. Genesis 28, from verse 20. Jacob made a vow. He said, Lord, if you will take me to where I'm going, and if you will feed me and keep me and give me bread to eat and clothes to put on my return, I will give you a 10th part of all that you have said. Now, this man made a vow. In other words, if I went to live with my uncle for 30 years, I will be mindful of the increase that I get. And at the end of the day, when I'm accounting, I will ensure that 10% of all that I have will go to God. Remember when Jacob was returning to meet his brother, and he was still scared that because he had stolen his brother's birthright, his brother would take revenge against him. The Bible says he divided his team into two, and he divided his prosperity into two, and sent one ahead. By the time he got to Esau, Esau says, I have also been blessed. May that be your testimony. I pray that not just one person will be blessed in your family. where everybody will look up to him, but you too shall be blessed in the family. Jacob was blessed. Esau was blessed. Receive your blessing. May your blessing distinguish you. May your blessing lift you up. May your blessing bring glory and fulfillment into your life. May you have your blessings instead of complaining about your auntie and your cousins and everybody else. So Abraham gave tithes before the Lord. Jacob also gave tithes before the Lord. So the question now is, what was Jesus Christ's disposition concerning tithing? Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Matthew 23, verse number 23. Now, Jesus was talking about some errors that the Pharisees and the others were making. So let's read that verse. It says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, which are judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." And not to leave the other undone. In other words, you did the first part, but you failed to do the second part. What was the first part that the scribes and the Pharisees had been doing? The first part that they did was that they were unnecessarily rigid with tithing, to the extent that they even insisted that certain herbs, and cumin is a type of herb, anise is also a type of herb, mint is a type of herb, and these were used to spice food. And the Pharisees and the scribes got so rigid that they were even demanding tithes on things like pepper and are you getting what I mean? And Jesus said that you major on the minor things. You major on the minor things. The most important thing is not the mint. It's not the anise. It's not the cumin. The most important thing are not the herbs and their seeds. The most important thing are not the spices. But it says, in addition to giving your tithe, there are weightier matters. Tell somebody, weightier matters, weightier matters. There are more critical issues. And Jesus outlines these three things. Number one, he says, judgment. Number two, mercy. Number three, faith. Judgment refers to justice. Mercy, you and I know mercy. And faith refers to faithfulness or integrity. So the Bible is saying that in your ways be just, because the God whom you serve is a just God. The Bible says his throne is surrounded by the law and justice. And the Bible is saying that if you have to deal with people, let the justice of God be the determining factor by which you handle people. Can I hear an amen? In other words, you are not supposed to discriminate against people because of tribe, because of ethnicity, because of the color of their skin, because of the continent from which they have come, but deal with them according to the love of God and according to divine objectivity that manifests in the justice of God. If you are a judge, don't receive bribes and skew the judgment in favor of the one who doesn't deserve it. So Jesus said, the most important thing is judgment or justice. The second, he says, is mercy. The second Jesus says is mercy. Mercy means when it is in your power to release judgment against somebody, and then you decide to forgive. That is an act of mercy. When you are supposed to have shown your enemy where power lies and dealt with him or her to show that they hurt you some time past, and you also have opportunity to revenge, and you choose not to be vengeful, we say you are being merciful. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So God wants us to be gracious. Remember, Saul wanted to kill David. And all through Saul's administration, his target was to eliminate David. He never focused on the job to deliver, on the mandate that God had given to him, but he just focused on David. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? God delivered David many times from the hands of Saul. As a king who passed away, David should have been angry with Saul and should have passed the anger on to any member of the household of Saul. But after the death of Saul, David called his armor bearer and asked him, is there anyone yet in the house of Saul? He didn't say even in the house of Jonathan, who was his close friend, but he says in the house of Saul that I can show mercy and show compassion to. Learn to show kindness even to the people that are not deserving of it. Can you put your hands together? The Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Today, somebody may need your mercy. Tomorrow, you will need mercy from another person. I'm sure there are people today, if they were told the business that they were doing would take them into trouble and they will appear before the courts of law, they would never have believed it. Because under one political administration, they were riding very high. And the business was a point of reference. And suddenly something happened. And a political decision was taken. A financial decision was taken, which became unfavorable to them. And they had to appear in court. What you're going to get from the court will be dependent on how you have been kind to others. So the Bible says, blessed are what? The merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Have you forgotten that in prayer the Bible says that let us therefore come boldly to the throne of what? Grace, that we might what? Obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It is the mercy that you have shown in time past that you're going to reap at the throne of God. So church, Jesus said, number one important thing is justice. Number two is mercy. Number three, Jesus said faith. But in the original is the word faithfulness. That means consistency in the things that you do in pleasing God. The Bible says, he that is faithful in little is also faithful in much. So faithful in little, God will give you much. No faithfulness in little, don't dream of getting much. Faithfulness means integrity. It means that your life is one, it's a total whole, it's not fragmented. There's no distinction between your private and public life. Jesus said, when you come to the subject of tithing, these are the considerations that you must place premium on. And not what you have been doing, not what you have been pursuing in chasing after people for pepper and hunger spices. No. Jesus was now, in some, Jesus was simply affirming the need to tithe, but to tithe properly, to tithe with the right attitude, to tithe with the right understanding, and to tithe with the right morality. Can you put your hands together? He didn't condemn it. He said they were doing the wrong thing. So he was correcting them to do the right things. Now, the tithe that you give is supposed to be over the gross and not the net. When we talk about the net, it's after you have received your increase, including your income and the gifts and all the tips and other things, and you have deducted your utility bills from it and your transportation. What is left is the net. But the gross is the total amount that is not touched, the gross. The Bible didn't say, go and spend all your money when you are left with little, then come and give tithe on the little. Can I hear an amen? Amen. What was it that was written on your offer letter? Ask the next person. What was it that was written on your offer letter? That is the figure you work with. Because without that figure, you cannot pay the taxes. Oh, come on. So don't underpay God. Because you may practice it, and in the long run, you may regret it. Because you will not always have strength to be in an organization working. You would not always stay at the position in the organization that you are. You may move out and somebody else may come in. It is what you have sown into the economy of God that you are going to enjoy, like the year of Jubilee, where Israel didn't work but they harvested, because that year was characterized by abundant grace and they stayed the whole year and enjoyed fruits from labor of yesteryear. Oh, come on, put your hands together. Now, the question is, why do we pay? Oh, I like the expression give. Why do we give the tithes? Why do we give tithes? Number one, we have stated it from Leviticus 27, the tithe belongs to God. It doesn't belong to you. God has shown how it must be administered. Don't be wiser than God. You know, when people's tithes are small, then they are very humble. As soon as their tithe is getting big, then they don't want to give it out the way God has prescribed it. Then they have other ideas that how they want to establish an endowment fund. Establish the endowment fund with the rest of the 90%. If you love the needy, the marginalized, the people that are seated by the roadside, pick 40% from the 90% and go and share it to them. Number two, the reason why God established tithing. For our obedience, God wants an opportunity to bless us. I've heard various arguments. How can God curse you? When we say God will curse you, then it means that you are still under the law. Take your time, gentlemen. Take your time, lady. Obedience is always characterized by blessing. Disobedience, no blessings. No blessings is no blessing. No blessing is a curse. So God wants your obedience. And in Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 13, Deuteronomy 26, verse 13, there is an important word there, which is transgression, and which I like for us to take note of. So Deuteronomy chapter what? 26 and verse number what? 13. Now let's look at that scripture. What does it say? Then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of my house, and also have given them unto the Levite and unto the stranger, to the fatherless and to the widow, according to all thy commandments which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed, circle the word transgress. I have not transgressed thy commandments. Thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. The word transgress means to go beyond the acceptable legal limits. If the speed limit is 40 mph in a village and you are doing 70 mph, you are transgressing the law. You are going beyond the acceptable limits. So the Bible is saying that, look, what you told us, we have honored it, and we have not transgressed. Another meaning of transgress is to go astray or to disobey. We have not transgressed, neither have we forgotten them. One tendency of children of God is to deliberately forget some things. When you promise them to give them something, they will never forget it. They have a way of reminding, Pastor, the thing you told me, and yes, it's true. You have a right to remind one. But concerning some certain issues of the Word of God, they deliberately forget it. You must not forget this teaching. Tell the next person, you must not forget this teaching, nor pretend that you don't remember it. And he says, I have not transgressed thy commandments. I have not gone astray. I have not disobeyed them. I have not done what I please. So number one, reason why we tithe is that it belongs to God. We're just giving back his thing to him, and it shouldn't hurt you. Tell the next person, it shouldn't hurt you. You are just you borrowed someone's car to use. When you finish, you give it to him. Does it hurt you? So why should the tithe be hurting you? Number two is our obedience to God. God wants to give us opportunity to be obedient to him, so he blesses us. He wants to distinguish between the sheep and the goats. He wants to distinguish between the obedient and the disobedient, so he gives us opportunity to give. Number three, tithing aligns us with the purposes of God. Tithing aligns us
with the will of God.
You know, for those of you who drive, there are certain times when you have done some repairs or you have changed some tires on the car, they will do what they call the alignment. They want everything to be in line. When you don't tithe, then you are non-aligned. There was a time when there was the Eastern Bloc in the world and the Western Bloc. And some nations that were weaker were either aligning with the East and some with the West. And some heads of state decided that, look, we will establish another bloc, the non-aligned union. We are neither for the West nor for the East. If we find the West is good, we will encourage them. If we find the East are also doing well, we will support them. But we are non-aligned. Now, if you stay in the kingdom of God and you are not aligned to His word, you are not aligned to His spirit, you are not aligned to His purposes and His will, then you are on your own. So the tithe brings you in line with the timetable of God. It brings you in line with the expectations of God. Number four, giving your tithe is accepting your independence from the world system. You see, the world system is not designed to favor the ordinary person. If it was left with the world system alone, you and I will remain poor forever. Because the collateral it takes to get some money, we may not get it. The world system does not favor the one who is not educated, does not favor the one who is not skilled, but the system of God has something for you. And at a stage, you have to declare your independence from the world system and your dependence on God. One definition of humility is dependence on God. A person who prays often and regularly is depending on God. A person who studies the word and meditates on it is depending on God. But the one who doesn't pray, doesn't study the word, doesn't meditate on it, doesn't even attend church services, doesn't participate in matters concerning the faith, that person is arrogant. If you are prayerless, you are arrogant. If you are not studying the word, you are arrogant. You are saying that you can do things by yourself. But the Bible says, without me, you can do nothing. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. As long as you are grafted in me, you will have life and have nourishment. The day you are taking off, you will lose your life. Without me, you cannot accomplish anything. So you need to assert your independence from the worldly system, which is not designed to favor you. And to now connect and reconnect to the system of God and to be dependent on the kingdom principles and kingdom blessings. Number five. Giving your tithe, puts you in a disposition to be empowered by His grace. As long as you don't give the tithe, you are not empowered. I will come and read about some of the empowerment that we have from Malachi. So tithing, after you have given it, a certain grace from God is released to you. Oh, can I hear an amen? The tithe you gave the previous week, and the tithe you will give today, and the tithe you will give for the rest of your life, may God's grace empower you and make you successful in your career, make you successful in the venture that he has chosen you. May you even be successful in your marriage. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? May you be successful in your travels. May you be successful in your vocation. May you be successful in your ministry. So tithing is not just for congregants, it's also for pastors. Because it's the same God who empowers. Oh, can I hear an amen? You know, when Abraham gave tithes, the Bible said Levi was blessed in his loins. In other words, the children who were yet to be born were empowered in the loins of Abraham. May your children be empowered. Are you getting the revelation right now? You are being cruel and wicked to your children when you fail to give your tithes. You are not supporting their cause. You are not helping them. You are not allowing grace for empowerment over their lives. So a certain grace is released. The success in the kingdom of God is by grace. Our salvation is by grace. Our living is by grace. Our survival is by grace. Our overcoming temptations and sickness and diseases is by grace. Our prospering and rising high on the social ladder and getting to the pinnacle and getting to the state where Maslow will call what? Self-actualization is by grace. So when you stop giving, you are cutting short your grace. Yeah, some people are so smart that very soon they will grow old and they will see what I'm telling them. God's mercies will sustain you for the now, but there will come a time when you have a head-on collision with the thing that you have disobeyed. And you realize those who have been faithful tithers, they won't pray, but God will bless them. So number one reason why we tithe, it belongs to God. Number two, our obedience to God. Number three, brings us in alignment to the purposes of God. Number four, enables us to assert our independence from the world system and our dependence on the kingdom of God. Number five, it puts us in a disposition to be empowered by the grace of God. Be empowered to succeed. Before Jabez was empowered, he was not successful. See, you must see these things seriously. Because of the vow of Jacob, and God knowing Jacob would do it, God empowered him to see a certain vision when his uncle was cheating him in business. And God gave him the idea which will ultimately lead to his success. And when Jacob left his uncle's place, he gave all the tithe to God. May you be obedient. May all of us be obedient. Can I hear an amen, somebody? Number six, giving your tithe is a way of emphasizing your allegiance to God. Giving your tithe is a way of emphasizing your allegiance to God. And that takes us back to the scriptures in Genesis 14 that we just read about Abraham and Melchizedek. And remember in Genesis 14 verse number 19, The Bible says, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. 20. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Now listen. In the historical past, in Bible times, whenever a nation conquered another and made that other nation their subjects, that subdued nation was supposed to pay what they call customs. The customs sometimes may be 10,000 bags of wheat, 10,000 bags of millet, 10,000 bags of this, and that is your submission to the nation that is superintending or ruling over you. Your failure to do it will be met with serious consequences. That ruling nation will come against you and punish you. And if you are the king in that sub-region, they will remove you and put your people under harsh conditions so they will learn sense. So nations were scared. And when they were conquered, those nations that were subdued went out to pay their custom. Now, for us, Satan had conquered us, but Jesus at Calvary's cross delivered us. Now we are under the authority of Christ and not under the authority of the devil. So the one to whom we owe allegiance, and to establish the fact that we are submissive, we bring our custom. Give custom to whom custom is due, and tribute to whom tribute is due. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God. The tithe is God's. It's not for Caesar. Oh, come on. I thought you'd be clapping it. For some people who don't want to honor the tithe, they always have questions. Why don't you just put the thing in an envelope and give it out? They always have questions. If your husband is not doing it, do it. If your wife is not doing it, go ahead and do it. If your parents are not doing it, and you are even a student, do it. Go ahead and honor God. God will bless you. He will distinguish you. He will bless the children in your loins while you are still a student. Somebody must be clapping. Somebody must be clapping. So when you read Deuteronomy 26 tells you that when the tithe was being submitted, it was submitted with a heart of allegiance. When both the tithe and the first fruits were being submitted, it was submitted with a heart of humility. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Is somebody really hearing what I'm saying? Now, if you read from verse 14, it says, now we read verse 13, which says, I've not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. That's the latter part. Verse 14, I have not eaten thereof in my mourning. There are people who say, oh, Reverend, my mother died. Are you the only person whose mother dies? Neither have I taken aught thereof for any unclean use. If you misapply the tithe, it is for an unclean use. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? It becomes profaned. It becomes defiled. Neither giving up thereof for the dead. There are some people, they love the dead. They say, Reverend, I didn't have money and my brother had died. So we needed to buy him a suit and lay him in state. Go and find that money. If you release the tithe will release favor. The tithe will align you with God. The tithe will give you independence from the system of the world. The tithe will constitute your obedience to God. The tithe will be giving what belongs to God to Him. And God will influence your circumstances and your environment and your life and bring to you what you need. So verse 14, I have not eaten thereof in my morning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use, nor giving aught thereof for the dead. Those of you who respect the dead more than God, be careful. But I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. You have to do how God has commanded you. Look at verse 15. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven and bless thy people Israel and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Now, let's read on. 16. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thy heart and with all thy soul. 17. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes and commandments and his judgments, and to hearken to his voice. And the Lord has avouched this day to be his peculiar people, and has promised thee that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and he will make thee high above all nations, which he has made in praise and in name and in honor, that thou mayest be an holy people unto thy God, the Lord thy God, as he has spoken. Now there is a part that I'm going to bring you to in the same chapter. Verse 10 talks about first fruits. It says, now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou hast given me, and thou hast set it before the Lord thy God to worship. So when you are bringing it, because God is your creator and God is the possessor of the heavens and earth, I'm coming to that shortly, you are bringing it to him as a symbol of your worship. Can I hear an amen? Look at verse 12. Verse 12 was the verse I was looking for. He says, when thou hast made an end of tithing of all tithes of thine increase of the land. Different tithes. Tithe of the third year was one of the tithes. There was also a tithe where they had a feast like the love feast. And there was also a tithe that was for the maintenance of the tabernacle, the maintenance of the house of God, to maintain and to support the Levites as well as to support the needy and the marginalized. So it's talking about, verse 14 is talking about, verse 12, say, when thou hast made an end, verse 12, when thou hast made an end of tithing of all the tithes of thine increase in the third year, which is the year of tithing, thou hast given it unto the Levites, the strangers, the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat within the gates and be filled. Verse 13, then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of my house, and have given them unto the Levite, and unto the stranger, and to the fatherless, and to the widow, according to all the commandments which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. Now the idea of your allegiance to God stems from the fact that in the book of Genesis, where we read about Abraham, he spoke about Abraham's God, that is Melchizedek, as the possessor of the heavens and the earth. In our cultural circumstances, we ascribe the ownership of the land to some other god. Sometimes we say Asasiya. But if there is any Asasiya, Asasiya was created by God. The one that deserves the allegiance is the Most High God. If you fail to honor him, you have dishonored yourself. If you fail to honor him, you are just planning to fail. So God must be honored every time. He must be considered in your finances. It must not be an afterthought. God doesn't need your tips. He wants what he has established by principle and in his statutes. You must be quick. You must be fast. You must release it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, in Deuteronomy 26, this text we read is telling us about how Israel brought the first fruits and the tithe. And they put it in a basket. We put it in an envelope or a pouch. Or sometimes you can pay by mobile money, or write a check, or whatever means of payment is available in your economy. Now, in this mode of payment, as pertained under the old covenant, where they brought their package in a basket because they were farmers. So whether it was bananas, whether it was oranges, whatever it was, they put them in baskets and they brought them before the priest. And they made a certain confession that an Israelite was I, ready to perish, but by your outstretched arm, you saved me, and you have brought me to the promised land. Now I have brought out of my house the hallowed things. The word hallow is also the word holy. And I have brought out of my house the hallowed things, the treasure things, the holy things, which I could have used for myself. But because you have stated in your word that I must bring it, I present it to you. Then they go ahead to say, now Lord, look down from above and have mercy on me and bless the works of my hands. May God look down from above. Can I hear an amen? And the priest shall bless them. That's why we invite you and bless you. So you must say something in your heart. Say it as you leave home. Say it as you arrive in church. That Father, it is by your grace that I'm even born again. And it is by your grace that I'm still alive. If it had not been you on my side, I would have been destroyed by the enemies. But thank God that your mercies were renewed and the mercies delivered me. Father, I recognize out of the abundance of my heart that you have been gracious to me. You gave me an open door. You gave me a contact. You gave me a connection. You gave me favor. You gave me the capital. You gave me the profit. You gave me the clients. You gave me everything I needed. And Father, I have brought the hallowed things, something that I could have used on myself. I have brought it before you, and you lay it before the priest, and you say, Heavenly Father, now please look down from above and have mercy on my life and my household and my children, that wherever they are, you protect them, you shield them, you deliver them, you cover them, that you give them wisdom and understanding and lift them through the academic ladder. Let them turn out well. Let them be obedient. Let them love the things of the kingdom of God. And besides, bless me in my work. I know that there's a competition for the next position, but I'm trusting you for favor to lift me and even create an office that does not exist so you can place me there. Empower me by your grace, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. When we are giving tithes, we are not joking. When we are giving tithes, we mean business. Some of you treat tithes casually. When you feel like, then you do it. You always use your money, sometimes for not too useful things. And when you run short, that's when you come to church and you are looking for change to give to God, when you should have secluded the money. Why don't you do the mobile money quickly? On the day you receive, if you were paid on a Monday and your next service is a few days away, why don't you pay it quickly? So your blessings start from that day. Why don't you bring it on the first Sunday of the month and drop on your knees and receive your blessing? Oh, so we are not working. The Bible didn't say the tithe must be paid on your salary, on your increase. Pastor, should I pay tithe on the housekeeping money? No. Your husband gave you the money to cook. So cook for him and cook for the household. But should I pay tithe if he adds some more to that? Yes. Otherwise, if you pay tithe on housekeeping money and you are serving in somebody's house, and the person gives you money to go to the market and get groceries, then you must be paying tithe on that. Tell the next person, be a regular tither. Tell the next person. Now, if you want to see the blessings of God, don't be an irregular tither. Be consistent, because God rewards faithfulness. Sometimes you may pay it and not see much in the first month. You may not see much in the second month. Sometimes you may see the hand of God strong after the sixth month. And you will start seeing it as you continue. And God will support you to accomplish and build some things that your peers are not able to. So learn to give to God. Can I hear an ear? Whether you are a market woman, a mechanic, a driver, a tailor, a pastor, a mason, a plumber, a traffic warden, whatever you do, student, give your tithes. Ask the next person, and I'm instructing you to do that. Ask the next person, are you a regular tither? Now you ask, so don't go beyond this question, otherwise you are transgressing. Are you irregular? Are you consistent? When there's no church service, do you desire to give? For some of you, when there were national lockdowns and governments of some nations said, well, for the next 3 months there will be no church service, and nobody should meet and clap and even sing and congregate anywhere, you say, oh, hallelujah. Oh, God, you are good. Oh. Do you know what? For those of you who fail to give for 5 months, you have robbed yourself of supernatural empowerment for 5 months. You must chase the church to give. Even if it is one CD or £1 or $1 or 1 cent, chase the church to give. Let the whole church clap. Let the whole church clap. Oh, can you continue clapping? Can you continue? Melchizedek said, God is the blesser of his people. He is the possessor of the heavens and the earth, and we must give to him. Tell the next person, God is your blesser, not your job. Your job is just a channel. You will not work there forever. Yep. There are some of you ladies, young women, because you love somebody and you want the person to marry you, instead of coming to church to give your tithes, you use that money in cooking for that guy so you will win his heart. Well, that guy will empower you. And his empowerment can only last to Adedengbo. It will not go beyond the confines of your community. In case it's no more, you are finished. Because where your treasure is, that is where your heart is. Your treasure is with your boyfriend. Some of you men, your treasure is with your girlfriend. As soon as they pay you and you must give your tithe, then she says, my mobile phone is spoiled. They have all kinds of stories. As soon as you are paid, they say, I lent money to somebody. And the person is refusing to pay. And I'm in a distress. As soon as they pay, they say, my mother is sick. I traveled to a certain West African country. And I went to do business for the organization I was working with. And when I came back home, about 7 people contacted me that their mothers were dead. I will not mention the West African country. Look at the distance between where I am and where they are. How many times does your mother die? Even Jesus, he died once. And rose up from the grave and he seated at the right hand of glory. How many times does your father die? Because we are not obedient and we are not submitting ourselves to the systems of God and to the kingdom of God, we are going through bad challenges and struggling like unbelievers do. There must be a stage in your life that people must send you things. Oh, yeah. Yeah. There are things you don't have to buy with money. Because by the time you think about it and need it, God will send somebody to release that to you. That is the system of God. There are diseases and sicknesses that God will exempt you from and exempt your children from. Otherwise, the enemy will find a way of taking away all the money that you fail to give to God. Let's go to Malachi 3. Malachi 3. From verse number 8. Will a man rob God? Oh, the God that we don't see. Yet ye have robbed me, hey Israel. But he say, wherein have we robbed thee? Then God shows them two areas. So notice the two areas. If God found the whole chapter to address this, then it's likely some people in church are robbing from God. They may come to church and say, I love you with the love of, and they say, oh, I worship you. But they are like armed robbers with guns in their pockets. God does not trust your worship. Will a man rob God? Verse 8, Malachi 3. Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed you? They had the audacity. And God shows them in tithes and offerings. Look at verse 9. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even the whole nation. For some people, the thing that disturbs them is that they say the Old Testament came with curses. Yes, I understand. But listen to me. If you sleep with your own sister, it is incest, whether under the New Testament or Old Testament. If you sleep with your father's wife, it is incest. If you sleep with your own son, it is incest, whether under the Old Testament or New Testament, and a curse has been assigned to it. Oh, God loves his children so much that why would he curse him? Well, you read your Bible. You are either empowered to succeed or not. And if you are not empowered, then you are wasting your time. You are really wasting your time. Oh, pastor, I have to finish my building. Look, you can finish your building without the tithes of God. Pastor, I found a car and I have to take it. You can buy the car without the tithes of God. Give the tithes to God and God will provide what you need for the top up. God may even give you a free land. It is no wonder that sometimes some of our children are so rebellious because we ourselves are not submitting ourselves to the Most High God. Now let's read on. So, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. So a nation can be cursed. Verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into my store. And God is specific. He didn't just say bring the tithes. He said all of them. The tithes from the various sources, the incomes, the ones that you got when your colleagues came to mourn with you. The ones that you got when you named your baby. The ones that you got when you dedicated your child and people gave to you. The ones that you got when in the office you were so kind to somebody and in the middle of the year the person felt like showing kindness to you. Take the tithe out and bring it to the house of God. And he goes on to say, verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Now notice the location. That there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to. Listen to me, you are not supposed to go and pay somebody's school fees with your tithe. Tell the next verse. You are so generous, you don't want to use part of your 90%. Oh, pastor, when I visited them, they didn't have food. The Bible said, bring ye the tithe to the storehouse, to my house. Oh, pastor, you see? No. I don't know why you are struggling to obey the word of God. Why can't you dedicate 30% of your salary every month and show kindness to people? Why can't you dedicate that? Oh, the church doesn't do. Who told you? Everybody needs some dignity. So it's not everything that a church does that the church must stand and say it. Everybody needs dignity. I need some dignity. You don't give to somebody and go and stand on a rooftop and start blowing it. You have received your reward there. So he said, bring ye all the tithes into the store, the storehouse, particular place, that there may be meat in my house, that there may be sufficiency in my house. The sufficiency will bring continuous revelation. You think if I have no materials to study, I'll be preaching the word clearly? I'll be fumbling, I'll be saying the same things over and over again. That there may be meat in my house, and prove me. Now God says, prove him. You have proven by Pythagoras' theorem. You have proven by dy dx. This is the time to prove by the equation of God. Here we say the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven, there are windows in heaven, seriously, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The first blessing is that God will open the windows of heaven. May the windows of heaven be open to you. May you have an open heavens. Number two, he says, he will pour you out a blessing. May God pour upon the church today. Number three, you will not have room enough to receive it. More than you can carry blessings. Number 4, verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. God's power will be behind your words. God's anointing will be behind your prayers. And when you say it, God will magnify it a billion times and use it against the enemy. So he will rebuke the devourer. The devourer devours, eats away. A lion does not just eat flesh, they break bones, hard bones. The devourer eats away. They are like the fall army worms that recently invaded parts of the country. And crops that were sown by our farmers were virtually being eaten away. May your farm be freed from all that kind of thing. Whether animal farm or plant farm, may your farm be preserved by the Spirit of God. Even your household. So, Arabic, the devourer was what? Number 4. Am I correct? Number 5. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Hey, the enemy. He likes to destroy the fruits of your ground. Then, number 6. Is that number 6? Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. When I was a young pastor, I came into touch with somebody who owned a farm, 2 farms, and had 2 cattle ranches on it. So one farm A, farm B. Maize was ripe. Then somehow there was a storm and it rained heavily and the farm got flooded and all the maize plants fell to the ground. 4 days later, when we visited the farm, the maize that were ready for harvest and were dried up were now germinating in the water. The storm and the wind that blew caused the maize to cast her vine, her fruit before her time. May miscarriage cease from your life henceforth. May your child not die after they have graduated from the university or before. Are you getting me? They say, my only child. No, I declare you will not lose your child. Your vine shall not cast her fruit before her time. If you're a young woman and you don't pay your tithes, and even a young man, people will promise you they will marry you. And when it's time, they will check out. Your vine, when it's time that you needed it, may you not work hard, and may you not just work hard and have a lot of blessings and increase, and just when you're about to enjoy, then some COVID knocks you. I command a cancel from your life by the power of God. You shall not die prematurely. Be empowered to go through every situation in your life and prevail. Your vine shall not cast a fruit before her time. If you know these things early, you start honoring God early, then he protects what you have. You yourself cannot protect. You may speak the biggest tongues, but let him rebuke the devourer for your sake, and let your vine not cast her fruit before her time. Let not people leave you when you need them most. Finally, verse 12, and all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land. May Ghana call you blessed. May Australia, come on, I'm coming. May Australia call you blessed. May America call you blessed. May South America call you blessed. May Canada call you blessed. May the United Kingdom call you blessed. May all of Europe call you blessed. Even Madagascar call you blessed. May your community call you blessed. May they say that this man is blessed. Even as you walk past, may they say, this is the blessed man. Oh, come on. May they say, these are the blessed children of the blessed man. Today, you are going to lift up prayer. There are too many curses hanging around. And don't go and listen to some strange doctrine by an untutored person who has taken one portion of scripture and has skewed it. And every time the pastors want something, every time the pastors, as if we are uneducated. As if some of us never worked. You know, some of us worked. And even after we had been ordained, we went ahead to do our first degree and did other degrees. Tell the next person, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. If you go to some internet person who says he's a blogger and he would just twist everything, pick the Bible and read.